Right, we're holding on page 102 in Nedarim, Shom Omer of Yosef. So the end of Ois Aleph, last paragraph of Ois Aleph. We learned yesterday about a couple of different things involving Nidui. So now continuing on that topic, the Gemara says, Omer of Yosef, Niduhu b'chaloyim. If a person had a dream where he was placed in Nidui, now he has to be concerned. A dream, of course, could be nonsense, but there could be truth in it. Habboina discusses over here at some length that we know sometimes the purpose of a dream is for Hashem to give a person a message, min hashamayim, to shape up, for example. So in this case, that he saw in a dream that he was put in Nidui, that may mean that it's actually something min hashamayim, tzorich yud bnei odom lahatir loy. So he needs 10 people to be matu that Nidui. Normally, to be a Nidui, normally to be matu a Nidui, you don't need. It would be enough to have even one chacham by himself. Even one chacham by himself can be matu a Nidui. But here, where there's the concern that it's min hashamayim, then you need 10. V'hu detonu hilchasa. Now, in order for that to work, it has to be that these 10 people are people of the caliber of learning halachas. And halachas in Gemara terminology means that they've actually learned Gemara. In other words, that they know how to derive halachas. Because just to learn Mishnah by itself, the Mishnah has the basic halachas. But as we know from throughout Shas, you can't paskin directly from the Mishnah because there's a lot of details that are left out of the Mishnah and are clarified in the Gemara. So only if a person has actually learned to the degree where he's able to know halachas, then he can count towards that 10. But not if these people have only learned Mishnayos and not learned Gemara. That's the Girsa that we have in front of us. The Ran in the printed Gemara brings a different Girsa the other way around that switches around Masnu and Tonu, which would mean, therefore, if he teaches other people versus if he just learns by himself. Anyway, the Eleka de Tonu Hilchsa, what if he can't find 10 people who learn Halacha, who learn Gemara? Then fine, I feel a Masnu Velay Tonu, then fine, it's good enough even if they only learn Mishnah but not Gemara, who only learn it but don't teach it. The Eleka, if he can't even find 10 such people, lays over lace of a parshas drachim, then let him go sit by a crossroads, the Yohiv Shlomo Beyasara, and go say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people who come to the crossroads. Ad Mikli Leasara de Gamri Hilchasa until he meets up with 10 people who have learned halachas. Now, what does that mean? So the Ran explains once you have, so it won't be all 10 at once, but it'll be individually. As the passers by go by, there'll be various people who've learned halachas, who've learned Gemara. Over gradually, you'll have first one, then two, etc. And eventually, you'll have had 10 people say to him, he'll say Shalom Aleichem, and they'll say Aleichem Shalom to him, and that's considered being Matu the Nidui. That's according to the Ran. The Rosh over here learns rather that what it means is that that 10 people, we're talking about even 10 Poshita people, have said Shalom Aleichem, that will at least have said, or he said, or they say Aleichem Shalom to him, whatever, that at least will prevent him from having Yisurim come on him like this. If he maybe is in Nidui Min HaShemayim, then it might mean that he's next going to be subject to Yisurim. So, like this, by having 10 people say Shalom Aleichem or Aleichem Shalom to him, that temporarily protects him from that until he's able to find 10 people who, as we said, learn Gemara, or at least learn Mishnayos, and then he's able to have them actually be matur the Nidui properly. The Rambam seems to have a different girsa because the Rambam writes in connection with this halacha that what he should do is, again, yeah, he should have 10 people who learn Gemara. If not, then 10 people who learn Mishnah. But the Rambam continues, if he can't even find 10 people who learn Mishnayos, but he can only find 10 people who know how to read Chumash, then that's good enough as well. And the Rambam goes on to say, if he can't find 10 of them, then 3 will do in a pinch. Now we have, when we do our Torah Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, in the Velt they do only 3. Our minhag is in fact to always have 10. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Siddur, and from there it comes in the Machzor, V'toiv sheyeh Eda Shleima. Now why is that? Because if you look in the Alter Rebbe's original Siddur, or in the Siddur Torah Ur, which basically reproduces it pretty faithfully, you'll find in the middle of our Torah Nedarim there's something called Seder Nezifa. Now in Hayom Yom it says, and from there it says in Sefer HaMenhagim that we don't do it, which is why it's left out of our Sidurim and Machzorim. But in the Alter Rebbe's original Nusach, there was something in the middle of there called Seder Nezifa, exactly that. That if a person has reason to think that he was Nozuf, that he was put in Cherem, or been Nidu in Cherem, whatever degree of it is, whether by a Beis Din here on earth or whether by a Beis Din in Shemayim, then he's asking the people who are there by Hataras Nedarim to revoke that, so you shouldn't be in Nidui now come Rosh Hashanah. The Alter Rebbe describes he should take off his shoes and sit on the ground and cry, etc. Why the later Rebbeim said not to do it, I don't know. But in any case, That is why the Alter Rebbe said to have preferably 10, based on this Gemara over here. You hope among the 10, there'll be enough people who know how to learn enough that that it'll be a valid HaTorah, so that it'll be a valid HaTorah of such a Nidui. If not, then as the Rambam is saying, you can get by with 3, which is why the Alter Rebbe only says Toiv Shiyah Eda Shlema. So even though we don't do the Seder Nezifa, we still have the poet about having a minion. Since we talked before about we learned yesterday about the importance of being careful not to save Shem Shemayim Levatola, not to use Hashem's name uselessly, and that's how we got into we got into the subject of Nidorim based on that, because the Gemara had said a person here is somebody else using Hashem's name in vain, then he ought to put that other person in Nidui. So now let's talk about the flip side of it, when a person is careful not to use Hashem's name unnecessarily. So the Gemara says, Omer Rab Chanina, Omer Rebbe, or Omer Rab Yashia, Umot Yubba Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda Bar Abiloi. Some say that it's the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Abiloi. In the printed Gemara, actually, you have a long chain of Tanoim and Amiroim over there. But in any case, anyway, my dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk? V'zorcho lachem yirei shmi v'goymer. There will shine for you, there will shine for you those who fear my name. And the pasuk continues, Shemesh tzedakah, a sunlight of tzedakah, umarpe b'chnafeha, with healing in its wings. So the Gemara is going to soon douse in the second part of the pasuk, but first, who are the yirei shmi? Elu b'nei adam shen yirein lahazkos shmi levatola. This refers to people who are afraid to use Hashem's name in vain. Or uselessly. So they're very careful about that, and therefore the pasuk is promising them this great reward. Eitz Yosef makes an interesting point in it. I mean, Michal, we learned yesterday that to use Hashem's name unnecessarily is a serious avera. So why does a person get so much credit if he's careful not to? He says what it means is more than that. You have, let's say, the Gemara points out that the main way that a person would make a neder, the classical way of making a neder, is a person would say, this object or this food or whatever should be to me like a korban to Hashem. The Chum were concerned that if he says korban l'Hashem, or b'chla, when he's designating a korban, he might use the phrase korban l'Hashem, he might instead use the phrase l'Hashem korban. Now, what would happen if he would say the word l'Hashem and then die, or Rahman al Tzlan, or become unable to speak? Then it comes out, he said the name Lashem unnecessarily.
It's a lottery. He's got to leave.
Oh, he's got to win the lottery. Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, so therefore, the Chachamim preferred that he would say Korban Lashem, or even that he wouldn't use the word Lashem at all, which is why, like I mentioned yesterday, why the Chachamim came up with various substitutes for the word Korban, such as Koinam and Koinas, like we say in Kol Nidre, and that way a person avoids saying Hashem's name entirely. Aleichem Shalom is the word. There's a vote on that. There's a vote on that. Why do we answer to a person Aleichem Shalom? Is because when you're saying Shalom Aleichem, you're doing a mitzvah. You're greeting a fellow yid. Therefore, you can use Hashem's name. There's no danger that the person saying it might pass away all of a sudden. But the one who's responding is not doing as much of a mitzvah. He's only avoiding, as the Gemara says, if he didn't respond, he'd be like a thief. So therefore, there's a danger if he answers Shalom and doesn't have the chance to say Aleichem, and therefore he says Aleichem Shalom. Yeah.
Interesting, because when you avoid that, you're keeping the fumes, Lashem Katos. So you're learning. Maybe why could you say Bichlal the name of Hashem? Maybe you're going to die before you say the next word.
So in the case of the coin,
so more important in a nether than in just reading a pasuk.
So when it comes to Lashem Chatos, why it puts Lashem first is a good question. I don't know, Taka, but we're saying when a person is making a regular neder, there's more of a concern that he might die on the spot. But by the Kohen Gadol, I guess maybe the vote is, listen, I mean, even if he just says Lashem, it's good enough anyhow. If he just says Lashem, then it still becomes the Sur Lashem. He doesn't have to say the word Chatos, so therefore maybe it's different.
Learning.
Right, when you're learning, obviously you're learning, that's how it is. But when he's learning, that itself is learning itself is a mitzvah. But here where he's saying Lashem Korban, and until he says Korban, it doesn't actually become a Korban, so therefore he might be using Hashem's name in vain. Anyway, Eitz Yosef says that's what we mean. Those who fear they're using Hashem's name in vain is that they're careful to do that. They're careful to say, for example, Oyla Lashem or Korban Lashem. Marsha goes into some detail over here that the whole world was created with the Eibishter's name. Therefore, when a person uses Hashem's name in vain, then he's destroying the world. But when he's careful about the use, in fact, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shavuos that for that reason, when the Eibishter said by the Aseres Hadibros, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, the entire world trembled. And we tell a person before he's going to take a Shavuah in Beis Din, we tell him of that, so he should realize how serious a Shavuah is. Anyway, so here the same thing. The person who's afraid to be motzi shem shemayim levatola, so he's preserving the whole world. Therefore, he deserves to have the sun as a healing thing for him, as we're going to go on to say. So the pasuk continues, shemesh tzedakah, that Hashem will give him a sun of righteousness, of tzedakah, umarpe bichnafeha, with healing in its wings. Now what do we mean by the wings of the sun? So like this, when you look at a bright shaft of sunlight, like coming through a window or something, you'll often see dust particles in it. The Gemara explains in Yuma that where do those dust particles from? Now we would say Balabatish, well, there's always dust in the air, so the sun is shining on it and therefore you see them. The Gemara in Yuma actually explains that what it is the sun saws through the heavens, like a saw cutting through wood. So therefore, the dust that you see in a bright beam of sunlight is actually from that sawdust that the sun creates as it's soaring through over there. So Omer Abayi, Shmamino, we see from that, Had Hodein Chirga de Yoyma Masi. We see that this dust of the daytime, this dust that you see in a bright beam of sunlight, is a healing thing for a person. In other words, that's what we're calling bichnafeho. That's what we're calling, it's like in the wings of the sun. It's not the sunlight itself, but it's something that flies and dances around in the sunlight. The Mephoresh over here, which is printed under Rashi's name, gives a different explanation that it can mean the actual sunlight itself, which is being compared in that sense to wings. So we see, in other words, that the fact that it mentions Marpe B'chnafeha means that point. The Rif makes a point over here in some detail, in his Pirush over here. He says that the difference is that the Yirei Shmi, those we just said, fear Hashem's name, they're Zoicha, that the sun itself is a healing thing for them. The Gemara, in fact, mentions in Baba Basra that famously it says that Avraham had a precious stone around his neck where anybody would look at it, they'd be cured. And then when he passed away, Hashem put that in the sun. And that's why when it's daytime, then usually sick people feel better. Because of the effect of the sun. So he goes into some arichos over here and explains that the Yireim, the people who are exceptionally fearful of Hashem's name, they just have the sunlight itself is healing for them. As opposed to regular people, it's the sawdust of the sun. Now, what's this business about the sawdust? So first of all, Maharsha explains that one way of looking at it, the sun, how do we get heat from the sun? So we would say Balabatish, you know, the sun is a burning thing in the sky. And nowadays, closer to our time, they found that it does nuclear fusion. Anyway, the Maharsha explains in and of itself, the sun is not necessarily hot, but it moves, and it moves fairly rapidly, 20, 24 hours. So therefore, that movement creates heat. Friction movement creates heat. So therefore, that's what we're talking about, this dust over here. For most sick people, heat is better for them. It's beneficial for them. So we're saying, and this also, we connect this with this thing about about Avraham Avinu's precious stone. When Avraham was alive, he knew all kinds of refuahs for various sicknesses. So that was the Evan Tova. When he passed away, then Hashem, that chokhmah was hidden away, but Hashem put it into the sun in the sense that now the sunlight helps, and the sunlight helps a person when he's not feeling well. So that's the symbolism. I once saw an explanation also, actually, that another meaning about that precious stone of Avraham's is that when a person is sick, beruchnius, a person would have wrong conceptions of what Hashem is and what a person is and what the world is all about. So he'd come to Avraham, who, of course, taught the whole world about Hashem and about man's place in it, whatever, and that would be the precious stone that would cure the person, beruchnius. Now, when Avraham passed away, it's put into the sun in the sense, one way that a person can recapture that knowledge is by looking at the sun and considering how powerful it is, and yet how it's only a servant of Hashem, and therefore from that he can get some conception of the greatness of the Eibishter. Okay, the Gemara continues, a pliga de Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Now, this explanation that we just said, that it's the dust of the sunlight that heals a person, and therefore that we're talking about an Olam Hazeh, because that's where you see that dust, that disagrees with Rav Lakish, who understands that pasuk in Malachi about the sun healing is actually talking about La'osid Lavoi. Da'amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, ein Gehenim La'osid Lavoi. In the future, there won't be Gehenim. Now, the non-mentions, we don't mean in the future after a person passes away. Of course, there's a Gehenim for him. What we mean is after Tchias HaMesim. There's going to be a Rishoyim there at the time, but they're not going to need a Gehenim because instead Hashem is going to do something else that's going to that's going to give them their consequences. Ella, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minautika. So Hashem will take the sun out of its sheath. Tzadikim Misrapin Bo. The Tzadikim will be healed by the intensity of that sun. Or Rishoyim Nidonin Bo. The Rishoyim will be punished and destroyed by it. So in other words, there doesn't need to be a Gehenim. The intense sunlight itself will be the means of reward and punishment respectively. Dichtiv V'zorcha Lachem Yireshmi. The same pasuk that there will shine for you, you who fear my name, Hashem says, Shemesh Tzedaka, the son of Tzedaka, Omar Pibichnafeha, with healing in its wings. So we see that the Yireshmi are going to benefit from that sun. Not only that, they're going to enjoy themselves in it. It's not just that it'll heal them, but they'll be able to enjoy themselves from that heat. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, the same pasuk continues, v'itzasim ufishtem ke'egle marbik. You will go out and you will frolic around. The word pishtem means to run around freely, and it means to become stronger. Ke'egle marbik, like calves that are being fattened up. So it'll be an enjoyment for them. Rishoyim nidonin ba, the Rishoyim will be punished with this intense sunlight. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, kihini ayoyim ba boya katanu, behold, the day is coming which will be burning like an oven. V'hoyu chol zedim v'chol osei risha kash, all of the zedim, all the people who acted b'mezid, and all those who did wickedness will be like straw. V'li hatoisem ayoyim ba omer Hashem tzvokos, and Hashem says the coming day, which again, the day meaning that intense sunlight of l'osid lovoy, will burn them up. Still, they won't have a root or a branch left. So, in other words, that intense sunlight will completely destroy them. In Chassidus, it talks about in a bunch of places actually that now, like this, we have first of all in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe points out that we have the name Havaya is like the sun, and the name Elikim, which shields the full intensity of Elikos from us, is like the shield of like the sheath of the sun, and otherwise we would be bottled by Metzius. So therefore, the idea is this that we're saying that the sun, the Eibishter will take out Chama Minartika, means there won't be that shield of Shem Elikim over Shem Havaya anymore. We'll see Elikos with our eyes. What's the lashon? V'ro kol boso yachtov kifi Hashem diber. So therefore, so the tzaddikim will benefit from it, and for the Rishoyim, that great revelation of Elikos will be too much for them, as we're saying over here. There's various other explanations about it that also relate it to the idea that there'll be a greater Gilui HaLikus, and that it's going to make everything clear. So now the Rishoyim are going to be burnt up from embarrassment, realizing the actual truth that they were pretending all this time didn't exist. Ion Yaakov relates this to famously, we have the Ur HaGonuz, the light that the Eibishter created on the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and then he hid it away for the Tzaddikim. Well, Osed Lovay, so that's the same sun, that's the same light that we're talking about over here. Okay. Further on, the next Mishnah in Or Masechta talks about if a person makes the difference between Nedarim and Nedavas. So Nedarim, in connection with Korbanos, for example, Nedarim is where a person says, I obligate to bring myself to bring a Korban, where then the din is chayev b'achri yosei, no matter what happens afterwards, he goes and designates an animal for a Korban, he has to bring the Korban no matter what. And if this animal develops a mum or dies or what have you, then he has to bring a different one. As opposed to a Nedava, where he says to begin with, this animal is a Korban, and if something happens to it, then he's not any further responsible. So the Mishnah describes that when it comes to, there's a difference in that regard between Tzaddikim and Rishoyim. Rishoyim may well go and make Nedarim, and they're not concerned about the possibility that they might be over on the Neder. Tzaddikim don't want to do that. So to begin with, that when it comes to making a Korban, they will make it an Nedava, and so then in general, they try to stay away from Nedarim because of the concern that they may end up not fulfilling the Neder, and that would be a very serious Avera. With that said, the Rishonim point out that after all, even a tzaddik, if it's a time of trouble, if it's a time of crisis, then he should make a neder. We find Yaakov who makes a neder when he's running away from Esav, Vayida Yaakov neder lemer. We find the Jewish people made a neder when they're about to fight against Amalek, against Melech Harod. So in a time of crisis, it's a valid thing to make a neder, but as a gift to Hashem. But otherwise, a tzaddik will stay away from making nedarim, and if he's going to do something like that, it's going to be a nedava. So the Gemara asks, well, what about if a tzaddik wants to become a nazir? Now, a nazir, becoming a nazir, is a form of neder. And isn't there the concern that he might not fulfill the neder properly? So how would he do that? So the Gemara explains that he would do the way we find in the following story involving Shimon HaTzadik. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Amar Shimon HaTzadik, mi yomai lo yachalti asham nozir tomei. In all my life, I never ate from the osham of a nozir who became tomei. Now, a nozir becomes tomei, he brings three korbanos. He brings an oila, a chatos, and an osham. And then on the other hand, if he finishes his nira successfully, then he brings an oila, a chatos, and a shlomim. Now, Shimon HaTzadik was a kohen gadol. First of all, only kohenim, as we know, can eat from an osham or a chatos. The Gemara discusses later why he's focusing on the osham. The Gemara says basically because we're focusing on where the person became tomei, and particularly Shimon HaTzadik is saying he didn't want to eat from the korbanos of a nozer who became tomei for reasons that we'll discuss later on. Anyway, the point, and the osham is unique to a nozer tomei, but in fact he meant he wouldn't eat from the chatos of a nozer tomei either. By the way, the din is usually the meat of a korban of such a korban is divided among the kohenim who are on duty that day in the Bais Hamikdash, the base of that day. But the din is the kohen gadol can ask for whenever he wants any portion of the meat of a korban, and it has to be given to him. So Shimon HaTzadik, being the kohen, he was kohen gadol for 40 years. He would have had plenty of chances to eat from such an osham, but he says, "I never did, ela echad, with one exception." One time, a nozir came from the south of Eretz Yisrael. What's the significance that he's from the south? We'll talk about soon. I saw that he was very handsome, that he was very beautiful in sight. He had a good appearance. Now, you have, for example, Rashi mentions, let's say, for example, when it says that Rochel was Yifas Toya, Yifas Mara. So Rashi explains Toya means the shape, and Mara means like the glow of the face. So here, Yifei Naim, V'toiv Roi means in a similar sense, that he's handsome and he has like a glow to him, whatever. And his hair was arranged in waves, in curls around his face. A Marty Lois. Now he's a Nazir. He's going to have to shave that hair off. A Marty Lois. Shimon HaTzadik says, "I said to him, Bni, Mara Isa Lahashchis Sarich Zena. What made you think? What made you decide to destroy this beautiful hair of yours?" Omali tells me, "Roya Hayisi LaAba Beiri. I was working as a shepherd for my father in my town." I went to go draw water from the spring. And then I noticed my reflection. You have to remember, your average person didn't have a mirror in those times, and b'chlal, mirrors in those times were generally considered something that only women have. We find by the Mishkan, for example, the women donated their mirrors, so it wouldn't necessarily be that often that a man b'chlal would know what he looks like. But here he sees his reflection in the water. Upochas yitzri alai. My yitzahara started hastening against me, like pachas kamayim, started rushing to try and trip me up. In what way, we'll talk about soon. Ubikish lato deni mina olam, and my yitzahara wanted to drive me out of the world, that I should follow, that I should follow my taivas, and I'd lose olam haba. So I says to my Yetzirah, Rosha, Loma Atamis Gorba Olam She'ena Shocha, what are you priding yourself on a world that's not yours? B'misho Osed Lias Rima V'Seleya, and in something, in the beauty, which is something which eventually is going to become the food for worms and maggots. Ha'avoida, so the boy says, I swear by the Avoida in the Bais Mikdash, She'agalchecha L'Shamayim, that I'm going to shave that hair, that you, Yetzirah, are trying to make me pride myself on in honor of Hashem. Shimon HaTzadik continues. Miyad amadti u'nashakti val roshay. So right away, I stood up and kissed him on his head. Amarti lei, I told him, Bni, k'moscha yubu nozir nezirus b'Yisrael. There should be many more people like you among the Jewish people who make a neder of nezirus. Olecha hakosavoyma, you're the kind of person of whom the pasuk describes ish kiyafli linder neder nozir lahazir lashem. When a person declares that he's going to make a neder of nazir to become a nazir for Hashem, so you really exemplify that your nazirus was purely l'shem shemayim, rather than sometimes people would come for nazirus, would make nazirus for other reasons as well, as the Gemara is going to point out. So in other words, the point is that Shimon HaTzadik was always concerned that other people, when they're becoming nazirim, they may not be doing it purely l'shem shemayim, and especially And especially as we're going to go on to point out that when the person becomes tamei, and he has to, and in most cases when he becomes tamei, he has to start his nazirus all over again. So he's becoming, so he has to keep the restrictions of nazir even longer than he thought originally. So most people are going to be second guessing themselves and say, why did I bother? So therefore, Shimon HaTzadik doesn't want to eat from such korbanos. But here he knows that this boy is doing it. He can realize from the story that this boy did it purely the Shem Shemayim. What's the significance of all these details that he was from the south and that he was grazing his father's sheep, etc.? So Marsha explains like this. The south is usually associated with, so first of all, so the most basic explanation is that first we have to ask, what does it mean that Yetzirah was trying to get the better of him? So the Ran explains that he was trying to get him to follow his eyes. You're such a handsome guy, you could have your pick of whatever you want of the tivus of this world. And the boy says, no, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to forswear those tivus. Marsha says it's a little bit of a doich to say that that he's going to bring me to Hir Avera. After all, he's saying to his Yetzer Hara, were you priding yourself? If he's going to come to Hir Avera, that's not a matter of pride. So Marsha explains as follows. The fact that he was from the south is always associated with Chochmah. As we have the expression, yachim yadrim. If a person wants to be wise, he should turn a little bit towards the south when he davens Shemana Esther. So now he's from the south, represents that he was a very smart kid. Nevertheless, he was grazing his father's sheep. He wasn't saying to himself, "I'm too important for that." He was just being a simple shepherd grazing his father's sheep and having kibbutz av. So now he realized Itake is beautiful and people in town know what he's capable of. So now he's Yetzirah. Now he sees himself for the first time. He starts Yetzirah, starts trying to get the better of him. Yeah, you deserve better than this. What are you doing? You're stuck here in this favor from a little town, pasturing your father's sheep when you're capable of so much greater things. So he wanted to, so my Yetzirah, he's saying, wanted to get the better of me to get me to be over on Kibbutz Avaim. So I said, but listen, what do you think? You're gonna abrogate the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, and therefore you're gonna have a better life. Don't you realize? He says to his Yetzirah Adraba, you want to have long life in this world, Laman Yarichun Yamecha, when you have Kibbutz Avim. In fact, we see Avshalom did the opposite. Avshalom Taka was proud of his hair, and he ended up dying young. By the way, that Amami Fano says that this boy in this story was a Gilgal of Avshalom. So he actually was misakin what Avshalom did wrong. Anyway, so that's what happened over here, and therefore he says that I'm going to become a Nozir L'Shem Shemayim. So this way, the L'Shem Shemayim will also include that I'm going to be Mekayim in the Mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. So the point is, in other words, that he's not going to think to himself, you know what, I could be better than I am. As long as my father needs me to pasture his sheep, then I'm going to do that with Kabbalah's oil. That's the Maharal's explanation. The Maharal goes into a different point of it. He says, among other things, first of all, the fact that the boy came from the south, which is quite a distance from Yerushalayim, shows that he's not going to let anything stand in his way. He knows he's going to have... Mela, for example, a person makes a neder of Nazirus, he may not realize how long and how difficult it's going to be. Bifrat, you could have, for example, let's say a person thinks that he's going to be a Nazir, let's say for a week, and the halacha is Stam Nazirus, Shloshim Yom, the minimum amount is 30 days. But here, this boy goes into it knowing when he becomes a Nazir, that he's going to have to travel all the way to Yerushalayim, so therefore we know that he's sincerely motivated. And the Maharal goes on to explain, when we say that he was taking care of his father's sheep, his point is that he didn't do anything to bring the Yetzirah to provoke the Yetzirah into trying to harass him. He was innocently going about his business pasturing the sheep, and then all of a sudden then the Yetzirah is trying to get the better of him, and then he fought him off. So the point is, in other words, that if he had done something to incite his Yetzirah, then Shimon HaTzadik wouldn't have thought of him so highly. But like this, when he was just minding his own business and Yetzirah starts jumping in, then you can realize that when he conquered it, and it's sincerely so. There's other points in it as well about the significance of the fact that he was a shepherd and the significance of him seeing his own reflection. Anyway, So the point is that Shimon HaTzadik was very happy with him being a Nazir and says, I will certainly eat from your korban. So the Gemara says, Maskif lo Rabbani, might...
story about a fellow who was very handsome, he poked at his eyes or something? Or...
I'm not familiar with that offhand, could be.
Some fellow, and he was getting the better of him, and decided to
So, oh, okay. So there is actually, so there is, maybe you're thinking of, there's a story involving the Lavush, involving Rav Mordechai Yaffa, the Baal HaLavushim. He was very handsome, and at one point, this Goyish noblewoman starts pursuing him, so he has to escape through the sewers to get away from her, and all 10 of his clothing, all of 10 pieces of clothing that he was wearing, became filthy, and the schus of that is why he had the schus to write 10 Sfarim called Lavushim. So then the continuation of the story is that the Vorker Rebbeim were descended from him, and one of them told the story that afterwards he asked the Eibishter that he shouldn't be so handsome, that he and his descendants shouldn't be so handsome, so they don't have to go through this kind of Nisoyan again. And sure enough, the Rebbe says all of us in our family are not very attractive. Mistama, there are other stories similar to that, maybe also that you're thinking of. I know it's brought someplace that I think it's actually brought someplace about at least one of the Chachamim who was blind, that he did that to himself so that he doesn't have Hirhurim or something, but I don't remember the details. So the Gemara says Maskif Lo Rav Mani. So the Mani says I have a problem with this story. So what are you telling us? Shimon HaTzadik would never eat the osham of a nozir tomei. The reason must be mishum de'osi alchet. Apparently, the reason is because it's not bekovedik. It would be a gnai for the kohen gadol, a tzadik, to be eating from something that's brought for a chet. Well, in that case, why dafka the osham of a nozir? Kol osham is nami lelechol dal chet boyin. There's six kinds of osham. All of them are brought for various averas, and we don't find that Shimon HaTzadik is saying he wouldn't eat from any other osham, only the osham of a nozir tomei. Why? Omale Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah explains to him, "Hainu time. I'll explain you the reason. Shehin toihin nozrim, because many people make a neder of nozirus when they are toihin." Now, toihin has a lot of different meanings. The Ran explains it means when there are people who are regretful of the averus that they did. So therefore, like then, now they're trying to stave off punishment from Hashem. The Rosh makes a similar point that they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. The Mefodosh over here also says that it means they're afraid. So basically, also that they're afraid of the consequences that are going to come on them. Actually, that's from the Rosh. The Mefodosh says that means Mespachtin. The Mefodosh, actually, that's printed under Rashi's name in the standard Gemara, gives a different point. He says that Toihin means sometimes people will make a neder of Nezirus out of anger or upset or something like that. So either way, the point is they're not doing it for the proper motivations. And we find, by the way, in Masech de Nozir, we find cases, it mentions over there, like nowadays a person might say, I bet that such and such. In those days, a person might say, I'll be a Nozir if such and such. So that's not a good motivation for being a Nozir. So now, especially then, when it comes to the osham of a nazir, which is something to begin with, he shouldn't have made that neder of nazirus for such motivations. And then on top of that, ochshen mitamin. On top of that, the nazir becomes tomei the rovin aleim yemei nazirus, and then he has to keep even more days of nazirus because he has to start his nazirus all over again. Mischaut and behen. Now they really regret that they ever took on the nazirus in the first place. V'nimtzu mevi'im chulin la'azara. So it comes out that now they're korbanos. They're bringing chulin to the azara. It's not strictly speaking chulin. I mean, the fact is they have to bring these korbanos, unless they're actually matur neder. But the Ran explains what it means is it's almost like chulin because they don't really want to have to bring these korbanos. So therefore, it's in a way like chulin. But with this boy from the south in the previous story, we know he has no regrets at all. He took it on fully l'shem shemayim, and even though unfortunately he became tomei pashtus because of circumstances beyond his control, he's not going to regret at all that he did it, and he's going to do the second nazirus with just as much enthusiasm as the first one. Therefore, Shimon HaTzadik is saying, I can eat from such a person's nazir, from such a person's osham. So that's the thing. So a chatos is coming for a chet. What we're saying is, an osham also generally comes for a chet.
This is a shaygig.
A chatos is when a person does b'shoygig. An osham, for the most part, is when a person does the aveda b'mezid, although there are some exceptions, but yeah. Right, but that's the thing. So other ashamas, Shimon HaTzadik wouldn't mind eating, because furt, it's meant as a kapara for the person. But here, where to begin with, the nazirus is often taken on with improper motivations, and on top of that, when is the osham of a nazir brought? Only when he became tomei, where there he has more reason to regret his nazirus in the first place, then Shimon HaTzadik figures it's not really right to eat from such an osham.
See, the after such a
Okay. Fine. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, more on this topic of tzaddikim not making nedarim unless necessary. Rabbi Yehuda, Chassidim Rishonim Hoyim Misavim Lahavi Korban Chatas. The early Chassidim really wanted to be able to bring a Korban Chatas because they wanted to be able to bring all the different types of Korbanas. Lafisha ain't a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Al Yadehem. Now the problem is Hashem prevents a tzaddik that he should end up doing any kind of Dvar Isser. So therefore, he never winds up having an opportunity in his lifetime necessarily to bring a chatas. But what are they going to do? Maho Yoisin, Umdim and Misnadvin, Nazirus Lamokim. So they would voluntarily become Nazirim to Hashem. Kadeshi Eschaivo, Korban Chatas Lamokim. This way, they're going to have to bring a Chatas. Because again, a Nazir, whether it's Nazir Tomei or whether it's Nazir Tohar, one of his three Korbanas is a Chatas. So that way, they have an opportunity to bring a Chatas. So that's one point. That's one explanation. The Rosh has a different take on it. That the vort is they're afraid that they might have accidentally done some chet for which they should have to bring a chatas, but they can't just voluntarily bring a chatas in case I brought an avera. So therefore, the only way would be they could become a nazir and then they could bring a chatas, and this way they have a valid reason to bring a chatas. Reb Shimon, I'm a loy nadr b'nazir. Reb Shimon says no, they wouldn't make a neder of nazirus for that purpose. Ella haroitza lahavi oila mesnadev, or maybe person wants to bring an oila, fine, he can make a nedava of an oila and he can bring it. Shlomim mesnadev, or maybe if he wants to do a shlomim, same thing, an oila or a shlomim, you can bring voluntarily. Toida v'dalad mina lachma mesnadev, or maybe he can bring a toida voluntarily together with the four types of bread that come with it. But a chatas, there's no way to bring a nedava, and therefore Reb Shimon holds that a kosher person would never make a neder of nazirus. So the Ran points out when the Mishnah had implied that when the Mishnah had said that a tzaddik might, well, a ksherim is the expression of the Mishnah, might make a neder of nazir, Reb Shimon would disagree with that concept. Kadeshalo yikoru choitim, they wouldn't. Reb Shimon says they don't want to be called choitim. Shenema v'chipor olam asher chota ala nafesh. The pasuk says by nazir tomei that the koyin should be mechaper for him for that he sinned on a soul. And Reb Shimon understands that to be, as the next piece is going to say over here, that it means that he did wrong by abstaining from wine and the various other things that a nazir has to abstain from. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, so in and of itself, becoming a nazir is not a good thing, and therefore, tzaddikim, niksherim, would not make a neder of nazirus in the first place, and if that means that they can never bring a chatas in their lifetime, okay, they're going to have to make do without bringing a chatas in their lifetime. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Rabbi Lazar akapa b'rebi oimer. B'rebi, by the way, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. B'rebi is a title for a gadol ador, for a great, exceptional Talmud Chacham of the generation. Sometimes the Gemara instead spells it B'ribi. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar HaKapur B'rebi, or B'ribi Omer, when the Pasuk says, V'chiper olav ma'ashachota ala nafesh, when the Pasuk says that the Kohen should bring a kapora for him, that he sinned on a soul. Now, if in context, the Pasuk is talking about that he sinned by becoming Tomei by a soul. In other words, that he was a Nazir. He's not supposed to become Tomei. He became Tomei, and therefore he needs a kapara for that. But Rabbi Elazar HaKapur is taking it in a different way. V'chi be'ezen nefesh chota zeh. What kind of soul did he sin against? Is because he deprived himself of wine, and in general, the Eibishter gives you things in the world that he expects you to enjoy them. So sometimes you have a situation where a person needs to make a neder of nazirus because he realizes he's been going too far, but nevertheless, that's not a l'chatchila thing to do. And Rabbi Elazar HaKapa continues, V'aloi dvorim kavachoymer. Now consider a kavachoymer, ma'zeh sh'letzir atzma elemen ayayin, nikra choyte, ma'dach such a person, he's only depriving himself by making wine also to himself, and still nikra choyte, and for that, the Pasuk calls him a sinner, ha'metzar atzma, called dover, how much more so a person who's metzar himself from everything, namely who fasts unnecessarily, alachas kama v'kama, then how much more so that he should be considered a choyte. Mikan, from here, Rabbi Elazar HaKapa learns, anybody who sits and fasts, a voluntary fast, says Rabbi Elazar HaKapur, is called a choite. So the Gemara in Tainus brings this whole point, this a machlokas tanurim, whether in fact it is a good thing to fast voluntarily or whether not. In later Sfarim, of course, we know, as the Alter Rebbe describes in the early Prakim of Geras HaTshuva, there were many, many fasts that the Arizal and his Talmidim and the Talmidim of his Talmidim and so forth said for various Averas, but eventually the Alter Rebbe says we shouldn't fast them for the most part because we're too weak. Instead, we should give lots of tzedakah. But here, Rabbi Elazar HaKapur, to begin with, is saying that a person is fasting voluntarily like that is called a choite. So the Gemara asks, "V'hodein krob a nazir tomei k'siv?" Yeah, but isn't this pasuk talking about a nazir tomei? So how are you applying it to a nazir in general? This, by the way, I was mentioning yesterday, this point that Nedorim a lot of times has unusual terminology compared to the rest of Shas. The Rishonim have an expression about it. Their expression is Loshen Nedorim Mishuna. The terminology in Nedorim is often unusual. This is an example because in Bavli Aramaic, usually the word would be V'ha Kra or something like that, where Ha means this. Instead, this word V'hodein is more of a Yerushalmi type Loshen. Anyway, so the question is, v'hodin krob a nazir tomei k'siv? Isn't this pasuk talking about a nazir tomei? How is Rabbi Elazar HaKapper applying it to a nazir tahor? And the answer is mishum deshana b'chetu, because when he became tomei, then he compounded the avera. According to Rabbi Elazar HaKapper, it's bad enough that he became a nazir in the first place, but on top of that, he became tomei, which fine, he didn't necessarily do it b'mezid, but there was some carelessness involved. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar HaKapper says there the pasuk stresses that he's a choite, but we're meant to understand that it applies even before that, just by the very fact that he became a nazir in the first place. Is Rabbi Elazar HaKapper is saying is not a good thing. Again, other tanoim disagree with that and say that it's fine and it may even be a mitzvah to do it. Yeah, but apparently it wasn't long enough, and maybe it wasn't long enough to interfere with his tefillin. I don't know. It's a good point. By the way, there was I forgot to mention actually a number of the Balei HaMusar say in various ways about that story that you see what impressed Shimon. One thing that impressed Shimon HaTzadik so much about this guy, he's not saying, well, I have to take it piecemeal, I have to gradually wean myself off this. No, he does an immediate thing, jumping to what has to be done, and that's taka sometimes what a person has to do when he's faced with a temptation like that, is taka to make a clean break with it. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola, Heishvat. This was in Tufshin Nun Aleph in late 1990 when the Soviet Union was starting to fall and various other countries were becoming free. So the Rebbe was talking about that you have great important countries where the government is changing for the better. They're starting to take on goodness and justice and righteousness, also not just for their own citizens, but for Jews, for their Jewish citizens as well, as far as freedom of religion. This is all a me'ein, and this is all a sample and a beginning. It's a hachana for the complete fixing up and the complete perfection of the world that will be in Limos HaMashiach. This is one of the nisim and nifloys that are happening throughout the world openly in front of everybody, which is a beginning. It's a me'ein of the nisim and nifloys of Geula Asida Ki Meitzeis Chameretz Mitzrayim Aron and nifloys. Just like there, all of a sudden, Pare's resistance shattered. All of a sudden, you have this kind of thing happening now. Okay, continuing on halachas about medicines and medical treatments on Shabbos. So we talked about previously about a person has, for example, sores, or another example would be a person has an ache. A person has, for example, an ache in his body. Then, so is he allowed to smear oil on it? Well, nowadays, generally people smear oil on only when they need it for refuah. So that kind of thing would be also, as opposed to, for example, in the times of the Gemara, people commonly smeared oil on their skin all the time. So such a thing would have been mutter. Then you have an example where the Gemara brings, you have a person who has a certain kind of chest pain, and maybe it's angina, maybe it's heartburn or whatever. There was a refuah in those times where he can suckle directly from a goat. Such a thing would be mutter on Shabbos, because the whole thing to even milk an animal on Shabbos in the first place is also dirabbanan only. Here where he's doing, well, it's part of the malacha of dosh, but here where he's doing it directly with his mouth is kal achal yad. It's only anyway also dirabbanan only, and here where it's a matter of pain, then the chum are not going to be gozer in it, and it's not a matter of this thing of not doing medicinal treatments on Shabbos. Then you have a person has a stomach ache, so then you can take. An empty hot water bottle, even though it still has heat in it, you're allowed to put it on his stomach, or the same thing to warm up to put hot cloths on his stomach. Such things are mutter, because again, there's no issue of it. The whole point of not doing medicinal treatments on Shabbos is the chum were concerned. You might come to grind up spices. This kind of treatment has nothing to do with grinding up ingredients, therefore the chum had no reason to ask for it. The reason it mentions an empty cup, by the way, is because if it's full, then the hot water might spill on him, and that won't make things any better for him. If it's a hot water bottle, Mastama, it wouldn't be an issue, because those are closed anyhow. Okay. Thank you.